Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Giants were off yesterday. I wish the Jets were off yesterday. What the hell was that, BT?
That's a tough one. That was one of the few games where the Jets really they didn't have a whole lot. The Bills game was like that. The Dallas game was like that. Those are pretty much the only two where it was really, really ugly. I mean, you know, Brady Cook is out there. I don't know what you really expect here. And the Jets, I mean, the Jets don't have a lot of talent on defense. I think we know that. You know, there were a couple of plays. I'm not going to waste much time on this. The Tua backwards pass, the pick six the Jets almost had, the near interception at midfield. There were a couple of plays where it could have made it a little bit tighter. Funny thing, though, I actually see it a little different than most Jet fans do. I really do. The general consensus is, and Aaron said this himself, I was thoroughly outcoached. I wasn't ready. My bad. I like him taking ownership. I don't fully agree because he's trotting out a bunch of B-level players at this point. But I think if the Jets weren't at least engaged and kind of locked in from a morale point of view, you fall behind 21-0 in the first quarter, 8-9 minutes into the game, you're losing that game 40-3. Now, ultimately, at least previous Jet teams would have. Now, they still got waxed, obviously, by the final score, and some of the statistics were absolutely gross. Like, I think the Jets had 2 first downs at the half. Miami had 14. No, it was gross.
Unwatchable football.
Unwatchable for sure. What I'm saying is, like, I'm looking for something a little deeper because there's really nothing from the result of the game to tap into to say, I believe in this, 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 or that, like tangible football stuff. I saw a little effort, just to kind of try to hang around. What does that do? Doesn't do much, but I just didn't see a team quit, and I've seen a lot of other Jet teams quit.
I saw a quarterback in Brady Cook who is not the, like, there was some thought that, oh, let's see Brady Cook at the end of the year and maybe see what he could do. He is firing darts with no touch or accuracy all over the place yesterday. That was a big strike one. Again, not that he was going to be the answer, but some people thought, hey, let's see what Brady Cook could do. Well, I've seen enough already.
That's it, one done?
Oh my God.
I can't say that. They dropped a lot of passes. Mitchell, hold on to them. Mitchell, Mechie, whatever. Even Taylor dropped one. Like, they dropped some pretty good throws. He made mistakes. He also didn't know he was going to start this week. I really hope that Tyrod's out. I want to see him get a week of reps and at least make my final. Like, I can't say that after one game.
Strong arm, just no
touch. He does have a good arm.
Yeah, no touch whatsoever. He's firing bullets all over the field. That was the other part of it. These receivers, they stink. I don't want to hear about A.D. Mitchell and, oh, he could be great in the number. He stinks. Whether it's the route running, the hands, oh, my God.
He dropped some passes he should have had.
Dude,
yesterday was a step back for
him. Are you an NFL receiver or what?
Coming off the game he had prior. Yes. That was a disappointing step back. I don't disagree. I was very disappointed the way he looked here. Listen, I at least want to see, if Tyrod gets back and he's fine, okay, great. But I almost prefer Tyrod because we'll get a better answer. I do want to see a game or two, and I know he's eligible to come off IR. I at least want to see Garrett Wilson, Mitchell, Mechie, Taylor, Hall, pretty good old line. I at least want to see.
Well, with Garrett,
Garrett Wilson, what it could look like when everybody else is slotted back into where they really should be. Now, that's just the takeaway for the Jets game. It is what it is. What really matters is what happened to Daniel Jones and that Achilles, which sucks for him. I think he's a high character. We all do. It didn't work out well here for him, but it's a good dude, and he's always banged up, and he's done.
Was it the same leg that he...
I thought it was the other one.
I thought so, too. I was just confirming that.
Left knee, right Achilles, I'm pretty sure is the way it was. And he knew right away, and he's done for the year. brutal. But here's what's happening. And listen, nobody felt sorry for the Jets when Aaron Rodgers, when his Achilles shriveled up like a lampshade going back a few years ago, opening night against the Bills. And I just say that because I want to put some good energy out there for good people. And Daniel Jones is a good guy and a good competitor. Like, the guy plays hard. And you can see the way he's smashing his helmet. He's distraught.
This could be the career end. What do you mean?
That's not going to be a career end. Kirk Cousins came back. Well, that's different.
Meaning this was Daniel Jones went from being the MVP of the league the first, 8 weeks, however long it was.
He was up there.
And then slow decline. Even before that injury, he threw a horrible pick.
Yes, he did.
So, and the Colts have been regressing in the last few weeks, looking like Daniel Jones again. And now this on top of it. I think whatever momentum and shine he had of being a franchise quarterback, which it was clearly headed in that direction.
They were going to give him a long-term deal.
Yeah, or the Vikings reportedly maybe being interested in going back to Daniel Jones. And then this now is going to torpedo all that.
Okay, I thought you meant, he's not going to get back and be able to play football at all, just in terms from a functionality point of view, which I would disagree with. But now that I know what you mean, I probably do agree with that. But here's what matters from the Jets. Now, I've been on this for a while because I haven't had a lot to be on here with the Jets. They at one point the Colts were 8-2. They're now 8-5. They've got Seattle, they've got the Niners, they've got the Jaguars, they've got the Houston Texans. Seattle's awesome, Niners are terrific, Jaguars are humming, and the Texans, again, as we saw last night, their defense is legit, and they are now legit, and they are winning a lot of games. It has gone from where I thought, all right, even though I was down with it when it happened and I was excited, I'm thinking, maybe it'll be like the 30th pick or 29 or 31, and then it jumps into the mid-20s. Then after yesterday, I'm looking at 2 weeks, last week, it was up to 23. At one point yesterday, it was 21. Then when all the games are done, it's up to 18. I got news for everybody. I don't think the Colts win another game. I don't think the Colts make the playoffs. I would bet on the Colts finishing at 8-9. So what this draft pick is going to turn into for the Jets, sadly at the expense of a good competitor in Daniel Jones, is going to be massive.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, WFAN NFL Football, powered by Verizon. Get your local Verizon store today. Brian is calling from Jersey Shore. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Brian.
Hey guys. Listen, you just stole my thunder there, BT, with that how that pick is going to be great now, because they might not even win a game, the Colts. But you stole it. I appreciate it. You guys are pros. I just wanted to tell you, I'm really going to miss you guys. I'll leave it at that. Happy holidays. Enjoy it with your family.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you, Brian. It means a lot to you, Brian. Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I think you've got to look at it this way. And I get it. Yesterday was one of the rare games. I was fairly, I don't know if despondent is the right word, but I was.
That game was brutal.
I get it. I know. But now, I will be fair. Like, I have been on this mission because I do believe in culture and a little carryover. But now, based on where the Jets are, I am in real time reevaluating, like, do I want them to win any more games? I mean, because the Saints beat the Bucs, that changes, like, where the Jets are. And in relation
where
to
is
having
it right
a top pick.
Yeah,
if you could, actually, if you could pop it on. I know the
Jets are 7 right now.
Jets are 7. Yeah. The Colts are 18, and that's moving in a favorable direction. The Giants are 1.
Yeah.
I think the Tennessee Titans are 2.
Giants are Vegas,
2, I'm sorry.
Vegas is 2 right now.
All right, so we got
Titans
the Giants.
Titans are 3.
So the Giants 1, and the Titans, let me just pop it. It'll be easier rather than
Giants 1, Raiders 2.
Yep. I just
Titans
want to have
3,
a reference.
Browns 4.
Okay, I got
5.
It. Here's where it matters. So what teams with the Jets right now at 7 are going to take a quarterback if they are in front of the Jets in a position to do so? The Giants will not. The Raiders will. The Titans will not. I mean, I would think that the Browns would, but you never know. I would think that the Saints absolutely would, even though Shuck has shown a little promise, and we know the Commanders will not. So, we are looking at it. I don't think the Giants finish with the first overall pick, to be fair, and I think Tennessee might. I think it's going to come down between Vegas and Tennessee for the top overall spot. Jets better praise the Titans, because if it's the Vegas Raiders, the Raiders aren't doing business with the Jets because the Raiders are going to want the quarterback as well.
Right, so if it's the Titans, you could trade up and get
Yep. And if it is the Giants, which I don't think it will be, then that would even be more favorable than, say, the Saints or the Raiders or maybe even the Browns. Like, the window of possibility is really
tell,
big
though.
For the Jets here.
But isn't it hard to, like, how do you know? There could be a world, and I understand the love affair with Jackson Dart, believe me, I get it. But there could be a world. We saw this happen in Arizona, where it was Josh Rosen and Wilkes, they were hired, and boom, all of a sudden they were out. You bring in Kingsbury, and he selects Kyler Murray.
Yeah, but Josh Rosen never looked like Jackson Dart.
I'm just saying.
Not even close.
That's one example. Well, for Tennessee, it could pertain true, even though there were some, you know, Boldy was on with us, he loves Cam Ward, but maybe somebody comes in there and they redo things and they have a new guy that wants to get rid of Cam Ward or move on from Cam Ward and have their new head coach or GM select a different quarterback. When you have the number one pick, you just don't know, especially in circumstances where there's going to be a new regime in place.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just don't know the answer. I don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback, so well, you would think they'd likely trade down.
Listen, I hate to even say this, but it's been said before. Like, unless, God forbid, and I'm truly knocking on wood, unless, God forbid, Dart gets concussed again, they're not taking a quarterback no matter what. He is their guy. That's the reason why I think the Giants' job is appealing. Basically, the only reason at this point, let's be honest.
Yeah.
So I think that is, I would bet exorbitant amounts of money that Dart, if he's healthy, is the starting quarterback next year and going to be really good. But I won't even put it down that far down the road. Giants aren't taking a quarterback. I hear you. Like, well, why not if you get the right group down there in Tennessee?
I'm just saying you don't know. Well, we still got several weeks left to go in the NFL season.
I don't know. No, I agree. So I don't know. So all I can do is piece together what I truly believe. I think that there is maybe slightly less chance, because obviously Darts look better than Ward, that the Titans would take another quarterback, but they're not doing
Your point is you want the team with that top pick to be able to trade out of it so the Jets can get
100%.
Up there.
100%. Give me the G-men. Give me the Commanders. They're not going to drop that far. Or give me the Titans.
I mean, you say not that far. They're one game off the pace. They're 3-10. They're all tied. There are three teams at 2-11, then 5 teams at 3-10, including the Jets.
You know what? That's true. And by the way, the Commanders have lost 8 in a row. They've lost 8 straight. The Cardinals have lost 8 straight. So that's true. There's like a couple of teams that we haven't really... Let's face it. When we factored in the top of the draft board this year, it was always... I don't mean when the Giants beat the Chargers and beat Philly. I mean pretty much after that. It was always going to be between the Jets, the Browns, the Titans, and the Raiders. Those were the 4 teams we all knew stunk and that nothing was going to really change enough to not cement them picking very early. But what's changing here is, you know, now all of a sudden, look at Arizona. As I said, they've lost 5 straight. Murray's banged up. Who knows how they finished? Look at the Commanders. As you point out, I wasn't even thinking about them. Yeah. You're right. They've lost 8 straight. They've got the same record as the Jets. Now, conversely, I don't think that this will happen, but 2 teams that I thought for sure, and the Saints as well, we thought would draft very early. I don't know if I said them. But 2 teams that I thought for sure would take quarterbacks, the Saints and the Browns. Well, let's just kick that around for 30 seconds. I mean, Sanders made some big plays yesterday. What if Sanders balls out? I'm not a big Shador Sanders believer, but what if he does? That could change it. And what if this kid, Chuck, is not... I mean, I'm not saying I'm hitching my wagon to this kid, but he's not awful.
Right.
And I don't know what they perceive him to be inside their building. So 2 other variables with 2 teams I thought for sure were taking QBs.
Your overall point, though, I think where we're getting to is you want the Jets to start losing.
I think
games.
I need them to start losing again. I do. Yeah. And that's okay that I'm changing my opinion because I think that there's been enough competitive games and enough. That's why I even said, like, I know nobody feels this way. I don't need anybody to agree with me. That's fine. And I'm not going to use the word proud, but I've seen a lot of games where the Jets get smacked in the first quarter, going back 20, 30 years with different coaches and different players. They lose that game 37-3. They get shut out. They lose 40-6. It was 24-10 in the fourth quarter. I know what the final score was. I know the Jets statistically couldn't run the ball. Cook was awful. Taylor got hurt. They had the dropsies. I know. But if they make that pick 6 at the goal line, which you have to make, it's a 1-score game. Not that they're going to. I'm not saying they're going to win the game.
You sound like Aaron Glenn.
Yes, you do. I'm not saying they're going to win. All I'm saying is I saw some fight. So that's what I needed to see. Now that, especially that Mendoza beat the Buckeyes over the weekend.
Yeah, did you watch any of that?
I watched the highlights. I was wrapped up. I did not see the game, but I've been on Mendoza pretty much before anybody. Okay, I watched him with the Oregon.
Cal before he transferred. You want him definitively?
That's the guy. There's no doubt he's the guy. The guy.
Now it's going to be up to Muji and to see if they think that that's the guy.
That's true.
But
I think he's the guy.
Because I'm still of the belief that I'm not going all in just because they need a quarterback right now. I'm not doing that this year if I don't love the guy. And they may not have their pick. Like you said, maybe the Raiders get number one and they're not trading that pick and they take Mendoza and the Jets can't get their guy. Now are you forcing it for the second level?
No, I'm not. Then I'm punting to 2027 and I'm going to try to get a bridge or do something creative for 2026.
So you want Mendoza?
I do. You know what? I definitely want him. Like, I think he's better than Dante Moore. I like him better than Ty Simpson. I don't even know if those guys are coming out. There's still some variables. You got the combine. What happens when Mendoza, if he plays the Buckeyes again in the playoffs, right? And now, his stats were fairly pedestrian, but the Buckeyes don't give up points to anybody. You look at Ohio State's record, like, I don't even have it in front of me, like the games that they played, like 0 points, 6 points, 3 points, zero. Now, the Big Ten is not an explosive offensive conference like the SEC.
It's incredible what Indiana has been able to do.
God, I mean, he's got the right size, he's got the right attitude, he's got enough wiggle, like, he's not a 5'2", 40 guy, can run a little bit, he's a leader. Like, if you go to Indiana, it's like you're going to Alabama or Michigan or the Buckeyes. You go to Indiana and you get, and I know the defense is great too, as is the coach. You're the number one team in the country. You're a little different. I will caveat it with this though. If they had to like really give up a lot of draft capital to trade up to get him, I'm not sure I'm doing that. Like, I really like Mendoza. If the Jets have the first pick, I'm taking him.
What about that? What about just waiting? See, to me, it's if you have to love the guy. End of story. This is their one shot to get the right guy. Mm-hmm. So if you don't love him, or if the guy that you do love you can't get, there are two ways to miss out on him or to pass on him. Either you don't really love him, number one. Number two, you do love him. You absolutely love him, but you just can't get him because the teams in front of you aren't going to be willing to trade that pick.
Yep, I would think that there's a third. You can't justify giving up everything to maybe...
No, but if you love them...
To maybe convince one of those teams that initially wouldn't trade with you, maybe change their mind. Like, let's say it's the Browns who get the first overall pick, and we think that they might take a quarterback. I would not do this, but can you give them 3-4 first rounds to change their mind, to first round picks to change their mind to take Mendoza?
Well,
I wouldn't do it, but you could theoretically.
If you loved him, then yes, you should do whatever you can to go get that quarterback.
He's not Andrew Luck. I'm not doing that. Like, I would
okay,
stop
but
short
then
of that.
Then you don't love him enough. So then you have to look at all your other options. It's not just in the draft.
I agree.
Kyler Murray.
I don't want him.
Okay,
I'm just
saying, I mean, he's going to be a guy that's probably going to be available.
Pass.
Then it's another stopgap year.
Yes.
Until next year's draft. But then what if you're in the same spot next year? You win a little bit more games, but the guy you want is not... You know what I mean?
But then you got 3 first-round picks next year. It's a little bit easier. You could probably retain one of them and still move up.
All right, but at some... I just would try to do the best I can to make sure I get the guy that I want. If I loved Mendoza, I would do all that I could to get him if he were at all available. And if they were like, I'm not so sure, then you make them make that move, and now you're all in on somebody you wanted, as opposed to next year, and it's like... Well, okay, we could trade up and get this guy. We might be able to get this guy. By now, Muji and Glenn have to have some kind of idea of the available quarterbacks, not only this offseason, but projecting ahead to next year, too. Not just talking about in the draft, as far as the available NFL quarterbacks, which guys you could trade for. Either way, they're going to, over the next 2 years, the Jets need to find their franchise quarterback one way or another.
Yes, that part I'm with you. Now, if, you know, we wake up and it's the combine, and the Jets make some crazy trade with whomever's got the first pick, it's probably not what I would do. But if they are that, you know, married to whatever convictions they have about Mendoza or somebody else, then I'd say, you know what? Muji to me has shown enough aptitude as a young general manager. I'd be like, okay, I like it. This is the player you want. You're fully married to that. You're not half-stepping it. It's not a reckless Hail Mary to me, because the Jets have been very buttoned up in their trades. What I'm talking about with Muji, not so much on the field, but certainly yesterday. And I would give them the latitude to figure that out. Like, I wouldn't crush them. Even if they dipped into the 2027 picks. Now, you're not giving up 5. If they did that, then I'd crush them. But if they did that, I'd say they know who they want. And I kind of believe in Muji. So I would say, go get him. I hope it's the right move, and I hope it works out.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Look at this. There's like a wet spot.
Okay.
What the hell is that from?
I don't know. Water?
I know, but I didn't drop any water on it.
Did Hoff give you... Maybe the tree was wet.
No, I'm thinking maybe because
Hoff cut it down.
They're doing construction or something. I don't know. It's just weird. It's like a little wet spot out of nowhere. What the hell?
It has been loud here last week or so. I mean, I don't know what they're doing outside.
That's why you want to come back from break strong like that. We were talking about the Yankees during the break there, BT. We'll get back to the calls here on the Mets in a second. 888-808-1019. Mets hot stove, free agency, all of that stuff. Obviously, the NFL, we got into that a little bit with the Jets. We could do some Giants later on, go around the league a little bit. But the Yankees' main takeaway from last night is for some reason people are obsessed with Sonny Gray. Who cares? Who cares what happened when he was here, when he left, if he likes New York or not? That can't be the main talking point, and it is, and it was when Brian Cashman met the media last night. That's the main takeaway from the Yankees so far in the winter meetings, Sonny Gray.
See, it's funny. You got to fill me in. I'm always piped in on this stuff, but I watched Cashman, and I saw him live on MLB Network. I don't think that was addressed, and then I obviously checked out. I watched the football game. What Sonny Gray? I mean, I know what he said last week.
The idea that Gray, Cashman said that he didn't tell him that when they first traded for him. Gray was basically lying.
Got it.
To the Yankees, saying he was okay with it, and then Gray afterward came out. You know, whatever.
That I know what he said after that. Yeah. Well, who's Sonny Gray?
That's my point, and that's like the thing everywhere. I'm keep seeing that.
Yeah. I want to get a sense of have you engaged Tucker? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, are you kicking the tires on Diaz? Not that I really want that, but. Are you talking to Guardians about trading for Kwan? I mean, that's what matters. It's Sonny Gray.
What about...
I care less about Sonny Gray.
All right, let me ask you something. Do you think that if they bring back Bellinger, that's enough?
No. To win a championship, no. Yeah,
but that's the problem. I'm getting...
I've said that.
Yeah, you're right in that. I'm still going to... This has no sources or anything like that. This is just blind faith and trust that the Yankees know what they're doing. But Cashman keeps talking about, well, we're still a good team. We were a good team last year. We're a good team right now. We could be, you know, a good team with Bellinger, whatever. I'm getting the sense that they have their price for Bellinger, which is fine. You should. And maybe they have their line. But if they don't bring him back, they feel like they'll be okay. They'll make a pivot. I'm not so sure it's going to be the sexy pivot that everybody wants. And I'm not even sure that that's enough if they could just bring back Bellinger. And then maybe that's it. So I'm going to still hold out belief against common sense and what the Yankees are telling you. I still have to believe they have a big move or two up their sleeve.
Well, listen, let's say that, and I tend to agree. I know it's kind of being downplayed as Yanks are going to be quiet. They also did a lot last offseason.
Yep.
It didn't work out, you know, the way we wanted it to, but they were very, very active. So I think in contrast to that, it's going to seem much less impactful, definitely less energy around the Yankees right now. And I do think that Bellinger's going to be brought back. But what can happen is Bellinger goes somewhere else, and then, because he did say this, now, does he really mean this? I don't know. And right now, they're still on the roster, so I guess you got to say what you got to say. But Brian talked about, you know, all right, we got Grisham back in center. Obviously, Judge and Wright, and, you know, Dominguez and Jones. Like, he talked that up in left field. That's not a situation that that I think is really, you know, is the right one for a team that's trying to win a World Series. And the Yankees going to have to navigate as much as, and I believe this, and many people do, I think the Yankees very well might and should have the best rotation in baseball next year with all these guys coming back. Obviously, more from Schlittler, Gerrit Cole coming back. Max Fried was a horse, sub-3 ERA. Rodon's best season as a Yankee. Push back one spot in the rotation, et cetera. Even Warren's deep and Yarbrough's depth and Yarbrough, whatever. You get Schmitty back at the end of the year. Yankees pitching staff should be phenomenal. But they're going to be vulnerable to start the year because several of those pitchers I just mentioned will not be ready, as we all know. And if you don't have a Bellinger, I mean, that lineup is going to take a little while to root if there's nothing else added, like a Kwan or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they can't enter the year, though. And I don't think they will.
Has anybody asked him flat out, who was your leadoff hitter? Why haven't you gotten a leadoff? Is his answer Trent Grisham to that? I mean, remember last year we had Booney in studio in the offseason, and it was floated the idea of Dominguez potentially being...
Yeah.
The leadoff hitter.
And then we're out there on opening day, and we interviewed Booney. Yeah. We got time with him, and opening day was Austin Wells. We had a home run.
Right.
And we've seen, you know, then we saw other versions. It is a problem when you're trying to win a World Series and you don't know the first name you get a pencil in your lineup. That's generally not a good thing.
Especially when Aaron Judge is hitting number two.
Yeah. Well, that's probably why they think it doesn't matter who they put there, which I would not subscribe
to. Yeah, but
to
that's
that.
Absurd. Right, you're right. Maybe that is in theory what they thought. I mean, maybe LeMahieu was supposed to be the guy for a while last year, and then he got hurt. Like, what are we doing here? Let's simplify. Okay, nobody's saying that you're right. Yankees are Cash and the Yankees. You won 94 games. You lost on a tiebreaker. Okay, so you're not as far off as some people make it seem. However, you need to get better, and you haven't had a leadoff hitter in forever. That's one easy fix. That's not, you don't have to spend $300 million on a leadoff hitter. Go get Kwan. Trade one of the guys. There's no room for Spencer Jones
and
Dominguez.
I prefer Dominguez. Get a little more runway, more so than Jones, because at least what I've seen with Dominguez, I know he's going to run. I know, you know, I do think he'll have a little more power. I don't know anything about Jones outside of what I've seen on, you know, minor league highlights on Yes and SNY and stuff on social media. He's also 25 years old, and he's a strikeout machine.
You think Kwan and Bellinger can fit? Or you think it's one or the other?
Oh, man.
Because with Grisham back.
I know. Well, that's why I was pissed when he signed the qualifying offer, which I thought it was very risky by the Yankees. And just very quickly on that, the Yankees either completely misplayed that, or I think that even, like, that's just unacceptable. And I don't know that that's it. I don't know. But if they view him as the asset that I think that they might, that's where I'd really push back. You can't hit lefties. You know, you can't bat leadoff against quality pitching in the playoffs. So the old things I'm on the record for. Listen, if it's Bellinger and Kwan, the only way that works, and I would love this. And by the way, I don't think this will happen. If opening day, you got Bellinger at first, Ben Rice is your lefty DH, and you got Stanton, and you got Kwan in left, then that to me is the best Yankee team I've seen in a long time.
Right,
I love that.
But that's what I mean. I think that there's too many, and that's one would have to go, whether you trade Stanton. I don't see a world in just trying to put a piece the team together. If you trade for Kwan, which I love, and he's your leadoff hitter, he's in left field locked down.
Yep.
Now, center field is going to be Grisham and Bellinger, where you could have, okay, Grisham plays in center, Bellinger plays first, but then there's no Ben Rice, then it's Giancarlo. Or you have Bellinger in center, Rice at first, and then Giancarlo, no Grisham in the lineup. So, yeah, I mean, you have flexibility that way. You could also have Bellinger play right and Judge DH for a day. Maybe that's the thing. I would like to remove one of those pieces, mainly Stanton, but maybe there is a world where if you get Kwan, you can still keep Bellinger and use him in multiple spots and just not have an everyday lineup with Rice, Stanton, or Grisham.
Listen, you know that I would love for Stanton to move on, like, and we've got great love for G, obviously, but it's time to go. You know, it's time to win a World Series here. And the problems that he presents day to day with the roster, you know, lack of physical reliability, those are all things I've spoken about.
He brings you nothing else.
And you know, he didn't do anything in the postseason this year. Everybody hanging the hat, October beast. Well, when he's not an October beast, then he's really useless. And I know he's great in the locker room and all that. It's just time to move on, right? But I also think you have to factor this in. If you do move on from Stanton, you got no righty sticks. The Yankees went from being way too reliant on right-handed hitters to a dearth of lefties to an abundance of lefties. And outside of Stanton, not a single righty that you trust. I mean, everybody's
a
lefty,
right?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Rice, Jazz, Wells. I mean, you look around. If Belly's back, he's a lefty. McMahon's a lefty. Now, you know, I mean, all right, Volpe, when he comes back, he's a righty, whatever.
Well, you said trust is the key word there.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is back to the equation, even if you do have Stanton, and I do think that he'll be on the team on opening day, to the chagrin of some, I do think you're going to see Rice catch a little bit. Like, you got to factor, whether you love it or not, you got to factor that in. They trust him a little bit, maybe more than I do behind the plate,
so then
myself.
You're playing more first.
Then you get a little more first base there. And listen, if Austin Wells is on a hot streak, you're on him out there. If Ben Rice is, now Ben Rice is the more polished hitter, and he will be for the rest of his career. Like, Ben Rice to me is a legit middle of the order guy. I think Wells is always going to be, maybe even when he fully matures, 240 with some pop, and he's always good, but never quite good enough to count on in your top five in the lineup. The real thing is, who's playing first base because Goldie's gone, and, you know, what happens in the left field, you know, if you don't make a trade for Kwan or if Bellinger's not back? There's a lot of things you got to do.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At some point, everybody's got to turn. Like, if you are losing your hair, right?
Yeah.
Then eventually you've got to come to terms with that. And it's a different timeline for everybody. It really is. Like, I didn't go straight Bic for a while. I was going tight on the ones and trying to fool people as the top was starting to thin out a little bit. I thought maybe if I keep the sides really short. And then eventually you start mowing the lawn more and more and more. I don't understand. Like, we've got a TV in studio here. And we're, not that we're really paying attention to it, but it's on. And there's a show, and I'm not going to mention the name, but I've seen this before, popular show, sports show. I mean, I'm looking at this guy who's got, he's as bald as a bowling ball. It's shiny. It's bright. It looks like he waxed his head when he woke up this morning, right? And on the side, he's got the wings. Like, who are you trying to fool? I don't, and he's not alone. There are men out there that actually think if they keep the sides and it's totally bald, like, who thinks that that's a good look?
Maybe he does.
How?
I don't know. It's an antiquated look, but maybe he could have it working for him.
I mean, sometimes the wives are a little... I've heard this from some people, like, the wives don't want them to fully cut it off for whatever reason. They're hanging on to the hair. But I think that that might be one of the worst looks any man can have. I really do.
I don't even like... I never liked having hair on the side of my head, ever. Even
me too.
When I had some
on
the top.
I was always tight on the sides, always.
Yeah. Now, and I got to get to your point. Actually, I'm in the process of trying out different shavers.
Oh, you're talking about for your beard or
no,
for your head?
For my head.
All right, go ahead.
I used one for a long time.
I know which one you used. They sent that to me as well. Didn't love it.
What do you mean they sent?
A company.
Oh, okay.
Is that what you're talking about? Okay, I thought you were talking about a product.
I never got anything sent to me.
God, I'm not going to give them a free pop.
Yeah, me neither.
I didn't hold it. I didn't like it.
I bought these, but I have one that I hold.
Okay.
That I've been using for a while. And then I was like, it just doesn't work properly anymore.
No, it doesn't.
And now there are so many, this was like maybe an original. Now there are so many options to do it.
Yep.
So I was reading up and Men's Health recommended like their top one. And I usually trust that. So I'm like, all right, let me try that. Even though there may be some, who knows what's going on with that. And, you know, advertising and endorsements and all those different.
Sure.
So I tried multiple. And then maybe Wall Street Journal had recommended. So I have three right now in my possession.
You do?
In addition to the one that I tried before, that I was using before. And I want to see which one gets the closest because I'm afraid to do, not even afraid, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to put the shaving cream on my head and then use the razor.
Why? Because it's wasting time.
No, it's another process. These things are great. They self-clean. Boom, you run over with a buzzer.
I
the
know,
hair gets
I've
trapped
tried
in
them. But they're not great because they don't work. The
it
way
doesn't get as close.
No. First of all, I told you, I shave in the shower. Now, like if I'm not on the air, maybe like over the weekend, I might let it grow like a little time. But I'm fanatic with this. I'm neurotic with this. Like to me, as evidenced by what the scouting report for men who are bald up top with the wings grown on the side, which I think is a ridiculous look. If I see any stubble on myself, like I get antsy. So I am a shower shaver, and I shave my head. I would say at least three minimum and usually four times a week in the shower. And you get so used to it, right? Now, I've got a mirror in there, but once I actually start the process, I can do it without even looking. Honestly, like I'm showering up.
I've
and
seen
I'm just,
you nick it up a little bit.
I never nick it. Like maybe, okay, what, two, three times
in
the 2.5 years we've been doing it? I mean, never. I mean, really. You get very good. Now, if
and
you
what
try
type
to.
Of shaver, you just buy the cheapest, like whatever.
Honestly, sometimes I'll steal my wife's because they're the best. I mean, they really are, like for the legs, whatever. But, you know, I'll go other ones. Now, razors are not cheap. They're not cheap unless you get cheap razors, which I generally try not to because I want the top to look good, the dome. I think you are alluding the most important aspect of the look that you have. You if you're gonna shave,
it's gotta
your
be
head,
as tight as possible.
You gotta shave it the right way.
That's why it's annoying. Like today, I shaved yesterday, last night.
Yeah.
Before I did my SMY hit, and then today I was like, all right, I'll take a day. I hate doing it. I hate it. People are like, oh, it's low maintenance. No, it's like every day I got
to
do it.
It's low maintenance the way you do it because think about it. To get it,
you
got to
do it every day.
Yeah, but think about this. You got to.
Where, and it takes like 5 minutes.
Does it though?
Yes.
Does it really?
Well, I mean, I'm a neurotic about it.
Okay,
so
maybe seven minutes. You got to trim it up nice. I get it. Doing TV and radio stuff for sure. Seven. Understood. But that's why it's important to become a pro at this. Like, once you become very good at this, again, there are times where I'm like, you know, like if we're going to dinner. Well, I mean, if we're going out, it's going to be done anyway. But if I don't think I have a lot of time and I'm like, you know what? Well, I could do this in 2 minutes. Literally, shaving cream on, 2 minutes. Do it in the shower, in and out. You know, obviously, you want to make sure the sideburns and the beard is tight because we generally have some facial hair, you and I.
When we first started, one of the, I think, ideas that Spike had for our Perfect Parlay Pick segment was loser would have to grow out their hair. You wanted no part of that.
I think I would rather walk naked around Times Square with a shaved head.
Really?
I hated him. I just, no. It's a personal thing that I just, I told you, like, when I was young, the flat tops were in.
You'd rather walk naked around Times Square? It's like Hoff kind of showing
Hoff
his junk in a picture.
Hoff walking around naked. Hoff, interesting Hoff morning for Hoff.
A purpose pick, as I like to call that, sending it out there for attention on social media.
Yeah.
Multiple people were texting me about that.
Hoff, are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Like, what is Hoff doing showing his, you know what?
That's not what I was trying to do.
But you didn't look at the picture before you put it out there?
I got to be honest, no. I wore a shirt that was funny. My wife was wearing a shirt that was the exact opposite of my shirt.
Right.
That's what I did.
But you didn't look at the, you know, below the waist area?
The package and the sweats? I got to be honest with you. Now, way before I heard Boomer and Gio talking about it this morning, I saw the picture that he posted. I may have seen it first on Facebook when Nicole posted, I think. Hmm. But then I saw him post it on X, right? Yeah. And I'm like, let me see what they're wearing. Sure, I'm like, Nicole looks great as usual. Hoff is, you know, hanging off in dear life. Nicole running the show, all good. He's got a funny T-shirt on, he's right. I didn't once notice the size of his junk. I didn't even notice that he was wearing sweatpants.
Thank you.
And there was a little bulge. Like, if it was minuscule, wouldn't have noted it. If it was massive, wouldn't have noticed it. I don't know why everybody else is so wrapped up in the size of his package.
Not wrapped up.
Who cares?
I can't speak for Boomer and Gio. I didn't hear what they were saying, but I mean, you couldn't help but notice that something
really
was protruding.
Well,
from...
yes, it's called a penis. Okay, most men have them.
There you go, BT. Thank you. BT.
Honestly, what is so groundbreaking about that? He's a man. He's got a penis.
Nobody wants to see that. I don't want to see that.
I don't want to see it either. But when I did see it, I didn't even look. I was like, oh, that looks weird. It didn't register. And then, of course,
it looks like a giant in the picture to begin with.
Well, that's true. He always looks like a giant.
Somebody was texting me about it, sending multiple things like, can you believe this with Hoff? He looks like a giant compared to his wife. He's showing his you know what. And I'm like, what do you want me to tell you, man?
I mean, I agree, we got bigger problems.
I might give you somebody else's problem soon.
We got a lot more going on than the size of this junk.
There was a lot of bad angles going on. That's all I can tell you. My kid took the picture. It was a lot of bad angles. I'm not in a good, let me put it this way. There's no good angle for me right now because I am in a eating frenzy.
Okay.
So I am
stress eating.
I'm stress eating and I'm packing on the pounds.
But when you say not a good angle, you're talking about just for your weight or for what, you know, the sweatpant look?
Like just everything. I just think that there's not a good look for me, period, end of story.
It was a rough situation.
Well, this sounds a little weird here. So I didn't notice it initially. When I heard these guys going on and on about it, I'm like, all right, let me just examine it a little bit more.
And zoomed in, you did the double finger.
I don't know if
front.
I zoomed in, too, but I took a little more of a detailed look. It didn't look that small. It didn't.
Oh, I thought that I didn't hear. So they were calling it small?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought you were, Hoff, is there any truth? And we'll move on to the calls here in just a second. Because that's what we do here on the show is talk sports. We'll do that
that's
in a second. 888-808-1019. Hoff, was there any truth to your nickname, though, when you worked at Stern? Because of
Porno
your.
Porno Pete?
Yeah.
Because, 100%.
Had nothing to do with what size
of
anatomy?
No.
Okay. Just making sure because I thought, but that was your nickname, Porno Pete. Yeah. What are you eating now? You stuffing your face with?
Cinnabon.
No, you're not.
Come on.
You're eating a Cinnabon? What are you doing?
I'm starving.
I'm telling you, I'm stress eating.
I mean, they are delicious, but you're going in the wrong way. You can't be having that on a Monday.
What are you stress eating about? You're fine?
Yeah, really. BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the sports calls here because that's what we do. Rick is calling from Monmouth County. Hi, Rick.
Rick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's
great.
Up, man?
I love listening to you, too. You guys are great.
Thank you.
I'm going to put my David Stearns hat on. And give you an idea of what I think he's going to wind up doing. I don't think he wants to give up prospects. I think he'll be okay with giving up a couple of draft picks. So here's what he's going to do. He's going to have a platoon at first base with Ventos. Maybe McNeil.
Okay.
Maybe what's his name? That left-handed hitter that came up last year, the kid. He's going to leave Beatty at first, at third.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to sign two people. He's going to sign Diaz. And he's going to sign the Yankee outfielder.
Bellinger.
And that's going to be it, Bellinger. Then he's going to have all those guys that he's looking at, worrying about, you know, all those prospects he's got. He's got five guys in the minors. He's got the three pitchers. He's got Jet Williams.
And Bench,
he's got Ryan Clifford.
And Clifford, too.
All
lefty.
Knocking on the door. Let's see what they do. He's not going to trade for Schuylkill. He's going to sign him next year because nobody's going to give Schuylkill more money than the Mets.
Schuylkill with a B.
Schuylkill.
Yeah, Schuylkill.
So he's bringing in no arms is what you're telling us here, Rick. No arms?
He's going to bring in one arm.
Diaz,
probably somebody like Michael King.
Okay, gotcha.
Probably who? Who's
Michael King, he said.
Okay.
Because that's kind of burying the lead, Rick. There. Thank you for the call. You're right. You know, that's why I hadn't heard him say anything about the starting pitching, which I think we all think they kind of, I don't know, need to address at least a little bit. And his answer is King. And I like King. I do.
I think you're sleeping on David Stearns here. A lot of fans, Met fans, and I understand it, impatient, hating just to hate. He gave them something to hate last year with the way that he built the rotation and obviously the results. So it's fair game, all the criticism. I think Stearns has a lot more up his sleeve than just holding out hope on some of these guys in the minor leagues. I'm not saying that he wouldn't rely on Ryan Clifford or Jet Williams or Carson Benj. Certainly two of the three is possible. I don't think you're going to look around at it. I mean, I'd be stunned if you look around at this team and have no Alonso, no legitimate outfield option, and just Beatty, Vientos.
Oh, there's no way.
Yeah, come on here.
Taylor playing center field.
Come on. They know they need to go big. Stearns has some stuff up his sleeve. Whether it's spending, whether it's trades, I happen to think it'll be a nice mix of both. Let him build the team with his imprints all over it, and it sounds like that's what Cohen's going to let him do, and then we'll see what the results bring this year.
I think that on paper, because we've talked about both teams, obviously started with the Mets there based on the Athletic article, I think that both teams on paper, you know, maybe a little different degree of level of confidence, both teams will be viewed as absolute playoff teams.
Anthony's calling from Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Ant. Anthony, what's going on, buddy? You good?
Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm good. Sorry. Okay, real quick, Yankees and Mets here. But Yankees, I think both teams are going to rely a little bit more on youth than I think all of us want to. So I think that's something we have to be kind of coming to terms, because I don't know how much money they're going to spend on some of these guys. Bellinger is either going to go again to the Yankees or the Mets. Hopefully Yankees, as a Yankee fan. But yep. I think that's going to make both teams have to pivot, you know, what they do. As far as starting pitching, I mean, this is, you know, not really for the Yankees, more for the Mets. You talk about spending the money with Scooble, but, you know, a guy that you keep hearing is Valdez from Houston. They let him go. That should be concerning for as good of a quality pitcher he is. But he's also the same guy, if you remember last year, he purposely crossed up his own catcher.
Yep.
You know, that, you, remember know that's it well. You need to be, you're going to give $200 million to a guy in your locker room who's going to do that. So, I mean, we always talk about just the straight performance of the player, but we always, you know, kind of dismiss the character and the inner workings of the locker room.
Well, you know why we do that? Because generally we don't have too much info, thanks for the call there, buddy, on, like, scouting reports on character of players. I mean, because it's very rarely that visible to us where something so egregious happens that you can't help but formulate a negative opinion on Valdez's character. That's about as bad as it gets. Like, if I would rather, if I'm a catcher, be screamed at for putting down the wrong, you know, the wrong fingers, or not framing well, or I don't know, airmail to throw into center field. No, I'm not saying I'm not going to bite back. If, like, you know, I'll let you get it off your chest here. If you're berating me in the public in the dugout, there's going to be a line that I don't want you to cross, and I'm going to fire back verbally. But to do that, what he did. And there was no doubt that he did that. I mean, he intentionally crossed up his catcher. I don't know that you could really do anything worse as a pitcher on a baseball field. I really don't.
Right, which is why I want Ranger Suarez over him. That was at least a part of it. Would you invest $200+ million in somebody that did that? And people could say, oh, Sal, come on, it's one little thing. Don't make a big deal about it. To me, that shows to do that on a professional baseball field.
Yeah.
All right, everybody makes mistakes, but am I going to invest $200 million in the guy that just made an egregious mistake and has, to me, shows a character flaw? I'm not investing a lot of money in that. Me, personally.
I respect it. I would. Now, they better do other stuff. And if they don't, and it's just Valdez out there because I think that they definitely need somebody, then I might say, all right, you know, and listen, I'm just being honest. As much as we want to sit here from our pulpit and, you know, just throughout the, you know, the moral fiber, the objective is to win. So if there's nobody else left, maybe. But if he, I would frame it more so this way. If he was better than he is, and he's good. If he was great, I might look the other way. Because you're good, I might not. I get it. It's a fair point.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Got to get to the Abdul Carter stuff in a little bit. Plus, there's a new report that maybe would suggest one of the top guys for the Mets and Yanks that they might have been interested in might not be available. We'll get to that when we come back as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.